All right, we're going to open our scripture study today from Romans chapter 5. I love the book of Romans. I've talked to it several times over the years that I've been pastoring, and I pray the Lord will bless you tonight. Book of Romans is one of the greatest books in the scriptures. I love them all, but Romans always has been a special place in my heart. So we're going to deal with Romans chapter 5 today. I don't know how far we'll get with it, but I hope that if you're listening, that the Holy Spirit would greatly bless you today. And that you that are listening by the live stream, we appreciate you listening in. Remember that our services are still open on Sunday evenings and on Wednesday nights. Both times are 7:30. So if you get the opportunity to come, and it's good to be with people. It's good to see your people, and I encourage you to come this evening. All right, let me go ahead and get into our text, and it's Romans chapter 5, and we'll look at the verse 1. And it begins with, therefore being justified by faith. And justified is one of my favorite Bible words. I love the term justified. Whenever you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, what the Lord did when you done that is He justified you. And the meaning of the word is to be declared righteous. Now, that's an awesome thing. That's true of everyone that's been born again. If you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, if you've asked Christ Jesus to save you, then what He does when you do that is He justifies you. He declares you righteous. Now, what He does, He charges your sin to Jesus. And then He charges your righteousness. Christ charges His righteousness to you. That's a wonderful thing. I don't deserve that. I can't earn that, and nobody else can either. But today, I'm happy to say that I've been justified. I've been declared righteous. My sins have been imputed to Jesus, and His righteousness has been imputed to me. And I'm thankful for that. One of these days, I'm going to die if the Lord doesn't come in my lifetime. And the greatest thing when somebody passes for their family to know is that they know for a fact that they have been justified. And that's something everybody in your family should know, that you have been justified. You have been declared righteous. When you trust Christ as your Savior, He takes 100% of your sins, and He actually charges them to Jesus. 100%. I mean, He doesn't just pay for half your sins. He pays for all your sins. So when we trusted Him as Savior, then He took away, He removed our sin debt, as the book of Psalms says, as far as the east is from the west. And there's a reason why He picked east and west in the scriptures, because the east and the west never meet. That means He completely puts your sins away. Isn't that a wonderful thing? As far as the east is from the west. So, Romans 5:1 says we've been justified, and justified means what? Declared righteous. We've been declared righteous. 100% of our sin has been charged to Jesus. 100% of Christ's righteousness has been charged to us. And there's nothing greater than that. And that's the only way you can be happy, I think, because there's a lot of people that claim to be saved, but they seek to save themselves by all their deeds and all their works. You'll never make it that way. You need a substitute. You need someone that is perfect to stand in your place. And that someone is mentioned here in Romans 5. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Isn't that a wonderful thing? We have what with God? We have peace with God. At one time, I was God's enemy. At one time, before I was born again, I was God's enemy. But now, I have peace with Him. And since I have peace with God, I really don't have anything to worry about. Now, as a little boy, I used to be scared to death of hell. Then the old Baptist preachers down here would come out and preach, and they'd preach hard, buddy, pound on the old pulpit, and Rick remembers how they did, and I'm glad they did. I'm glad they preached on hell. It's too late to find out about hell after you're in it. And boy, they really preached it. And the greatest thing about being born again is it gives you a peace. I got peace of mind. I don't worry about hell no more. If Jesus would come, I hear people all the time, oh, Jesus might come. Well, great. Let him, it'd be great if he come. I'm ready to go up. And I hope you're ready to go up. There isn't nothing any more important than that. So, I've been justified. I've been declared righteous. I've had my sins charged to Jesus, His righteousness charged to me, and now I'm ready to what? I'm ready to go. Anytime, I'm ready to go. Now, I might go up in the rapture. I could do that, and so maybe the people that are here will also go up in the rapture. But either way, I'm going up, and I know that. I don't know how people could live without the expectation of going to glory at the end of their days. I don't know how people could live a life like that. I mean, it's just a temporary thing. This old world here is just a temporary thing. Psalms 90 says the average lifespan is 70 years, and if by reason of strength it be 80 years, it says, but it's soon over. It's soon over, and we fly away. That's what the Scripture says in Psalms 90. Soon over, and what do? We fly away. It's just the important thing is where you fly away to. And that's why we preach. That's why we do the live stream. That's why we preach the gospel on Sunday evenings. And that's why we have a radio broadcast. And why we have an internet ministry. Why we do these things is to reach people. We want people to hear about Jesus. And we want them to have the same kind of righteousness that we have, which is Christ's righteousness. It's Christ. You can't do enough righteousness to go to heaven. And as soon as people realize that, the better off they are. You can't do enough righteousness to go to heaven. That's why you needed Jesus to start with. He's the only one that's 100% righteous. And what He does by His grace is He imputes, what the Scripture says, He imputes His righteousness to you in the new birth. And that's hard for me to imagine, but that's what it does. That's what gets you there. That's what gets you there. So, 5 and verse 1, I've been justified. What's it mean again? Declared righteous. What's the means of it? Through the means of faith. Faith is believing. Yeah, when you trusted Jesus, you believed on the Lord Jesus as your Savior, see? And that gives you what with God in chapter 5, verse 1? It gives you peace with God. It gives you peace with God. So, I have what with God? Peace with God. One of the things that people talk about, and I've heard people talk about this all the time, is they'll talk about, someone may be dying, and they say, well, Jeff, you need to go see this person. They need to make their peace. They need to make their peace. And that's what we go after. You don't have peace with God until you trust Jesus as your Savior. If you don't have peace with God, then when you die, you're not ready. You got to make your... People like to say, you need to make your peace. You do. You do need to make your peace. You need to have peace with God. And God will give you peace if you want it. way I look at it, look at the back of Romans 5. Therefore, being justified, declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God. See the peace? Peace with who? Peace with God. Greatest thing you can have. So we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the only way you can have peace. You can't have peace any other way than through Jesus Christ. And when you trust Him as your Savior, here's what He does. He gives you His peace. He gives you His righteousness. And He gives you 100% righteousness. Really, He charges that to you. In the book of Revelations, everybody in heaven is depicted with a white robe. I love that. And the picture of the white robe in the book of Revelations, it pictures the righteousness of the saints. Because all the saints have the same righteousness. All the saints have the same righteousness. You know whose righteousness they have, don't you? They have Christ's righteousness. 100%. And that's what gets you there. I don't know about you, but that makes me feel good. I like that. I've talked to people before and they say, "Oh, Jeff, I'm afraid I haven't done enough. I haven't done enough. You know what I tell them? They haven't. You ain't done enough. That's why you need Jesus to start with. If you could do it on your own, it'd be that way. But Jesus gives us His grace and Jesus gives us His righteousness. That's why we're saved. And that's the only reason why we're saved. And beloved, I get tore up over that. I think that's a wonderful thing to be declared righteous, to be justified by faith. Now, because of that, I got what? Peace with God. I got my peace. We say that all the time too. Sometimes they'll call me to a deathbed. They say, "Jeff, man, you need to go talk to this one or that one. They need to make their peace. They're not ready to go." And we'll go in and we'll talk to them about the Lord, you know, and tell them about justification and how Christ died on the cross for sinners and rose again the third day. And then we'll ask them, "Would you like to receive Jesus as your Savior now? Would you like to do that?" Oh, that's the greatest thing a person can do. And if you'll trust Him as your Savior, He'll give you justification, but He'll also give you His what? He'll give you peace. He'll give you peace. Beloved, I don't worry about hell none. I don't worry about hell at all. But that's, Romans 8 says there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. I'm not under condemnation. Jesus paid my condemnation on the cross. That's why we sing the song, "Jesus paid it all." I don't worry about these kinds of things. I hope if you're listening to me, you have justification and you have peace with God. And what I'm telling you, if you don't have those two things, you ain't ready to go. You ain't ready to go. You need to have your sins paid for. You need to have justification. And you need to have peace with God. And those are three great things that you must have if you're going to go to heaven. And I want you to go. I want you to go. I do. All right, let me move on now. Down the, I think I've done beat verse 1 to death. Let's go ahead and move on over to the next verse. Romans chapter 5. And now let's move into the verse 2. We've seen justification by faith, and we've talked about peace with God through Jesus Christ. That was the two main things we looked at in verse 1. Easy to follow, isn't it? It's not a real hard thing when you read it. Right there it is. He justifies you by faith, faith in Jesus. And then He gives you peace with God. That's the greatest thing you can have. Verse 2. By whom we have access. We have a what? We got access. What's access? How you get in? We got an access. And the access that we have is a faith access. Notice what it says here. By whom we have access by faith. Salvation, being born again, is an access by faith. We talk about accesses all the time. Sometimes they'll come and they'll work on our heating unit and things or air conditioner and thing. And they'll walk up to me. I love it when they ask me because I start preaching a little bit. But they'll walk up and they say, "Preacher, where's your access at? Where's your access at?" Well, my access is Jesus. He's my access. And the access is how you get in. That's why they call it access. It's how you get in. How do you get in? Well, you got to get in by faith. The access is a faith access. You can't earn heaven by your deeds or your works. You need an access which is by the means of faith. And that's what Jesus does for you. It's a faith access. Hey, beloved, how did the thief on the cross go to glory? What? How did he get to heaven? What did he do? What was his access? He said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." What did Jesus say? Today thou shalt be with me in what? Paradise. It's another name for heaven. How did he get there? He had a faith access. Jesus said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." What else did he say? What else did he say? Well, that's too easy. Well, there has to be more to it than that. Is that what people say all the time? Beloved, it's a faith access. You get in through the access by believing on him. That's the only way you can. It is a faith access. And if you by faith trust Jesus as your Savior, you'll enter the access. And that's Jesus. So it's an access. Now look what it says in verse 2. By whom we have access through faith in this grace wherein we stand. And it says we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in what? Hope. We have radio broadcast here on Monday evening, 7:30. And the name of the broadcast is Good Hope through what? Good Hope through grace. That's a good access. We have access by faith and to this grace wherein we stand. So it's a faith access. That's how you get in. If you're listening to me by way of this live stream, if you would ask Jesus to save you and you call upon his name and said, "Lord, I want to be saved," he'll save you. And you'll enter the access when you do that. You'll enter the access. It's the greatest access there is. But I want you to notice what it says. It's an access by faith, by believing. It's an access by faith, which is by believing. Now, he calls it, the next part of verse 2, he calls it, it's an access, but he also calls it grace. It's a faith access and it's a grace access. I've been saved by grace. What's grace mean? Grace means that your salvation is unmerited. You didn't deserve it, nor did you earn it. That's why it's by what? It's a grace access. It's the only way that you can get in. You can't get in by your works or by your good deeds or by your baptism. You get in one way. And it's a grace access. So he says we have access by faith into this grace. See, he keeps talking about grace wherein we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. As I said, our radio broadcast is Good Hope through Grace. Because of grace, we have good hope. The good hope of heaven. Good hope of seeing our loved ones. That's good hope, isn't it? We got good hope. But it says here we have access by faith into His grace, wherein we stand and we rejoice in hope. I hope you do that. We got reasons to rejoice, and the hopes that we have in Christ Jesus is over and above. You can't put a price tag on them. I got good hope through God's grace, and God's given me grace. Saving grace. Saving grace. Okay? He says we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in it. Do you ever rejoice in your hope? Sometimes you need to get up in the morning and pray and say, Lord, thank you for thank you for the good hope of glory. Thank you for the good hope of grace. Thank you for these tremendous blessings that you've given me because of grace. It's a wonderful thing. Let me read a little bit more. It says, let's move down to verse 1 and 2 is what we cover. Romans 5, 1 and 2. Lot in 5, 1 and 2. If you can get a hold of Romans 5, 1 and 2 and trust it, you'll have peace. You got to get a hold of this thing. Trust it and trust that He died for you. And it'll bless your heart, I'll guarantee you that. All right. And not only so, we glory in tribulation. Now, I want you to listen to what he says. Now, this is something for you to think of. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Is that, what in the world's that? We glory in what? We glory in tribulations. I don't know about you. I don't like tribulations. I like everything to be peachy. Everything's not peachy sometimes. Here's what I want you to understand. God has a purpose for tribulations that he permits in the lives of His children. There's a lot of things that we don't understand. But buddy, when you get all the information one of these days, it'll all make perfect sense. God's got a purpose for tribulations in the lives of His people. Tribulations are just like, it's like training. It's just like training. It makes you stronger. It makes you stronger. So we glory in tribulations because we realize that God has a purpose for them. And He uses these weights to make us stronger. To make us stronger. So we glory in tribulations because the effect of tribulations is it makes you what? It makes you stronger. It makes you stronger. Okay? Knowing that tribulation, now it goes ahead, it tells you some more things that tribulation does. See, tribulations have a purpose. That's what I want you to get. God has a purpose for your tribulations. He does. Same thing for every child of God. But I want you to listen to it now. Not only so, now notice what else he says. Now this, Paul wrote it through the inspiration of the Spirit. He said, not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Who in the world glories in tribulations? Very few. Because God has a, we glory in tribulation because God has a purpose for tribulations. Romans 8:28 says, for we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to him who are the called according to His purpose. So God has a purpose for tribulations. There's a lot of things in my life that's happened that I don't understand. But one of the things I do understand is I understand that God has a good purpose for what He permits in the lives of His children. And I trust Him. I trust Him. And I figure when I get all the information, when I get the glory, I think it'll make perfect sense when I get there too. God has a purpose. Man, don't quarrel with your God. He knows what He's doing. He's got a purpose for what He permits. And when you get to talk to Him one of these days up in glory, it'll make sense then. It'll make sense then. People say all of them, oh, why? I don't know why God did this. Won't you try trusting Him? Won't you try trusting Him? God has a purpose for it. Not only this, but we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation works patience. One thing tribulation does is it works patience in you. God's people needs patience. Who's the one that was known for, who was the one in the scriptures that was known for patience? Job. You've heard of the patience of Job. And you can go back and read Job 1 and 2, and I encourage you to do it. Read Job 1 and 2, and you see what all he went through. And that's why he says you've heard of the patience of Job. He went through so much. He went through so much. Okay? Verse 4, and patience gives you experience. And experience gives you what else? Gives you hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the Lord God has shed abroad in our hearts the Holy Spirit, which is given to us. We have the Holy Spirit in us. Aren't you glad of that? We're never alone. You might feel like you're alone at times. I guess everybody feels that way sometimes. But you got the Holy Spirit with you. Everywhere you go, He's with you. Everywhere you go, He's with you. He's with you when you're sleeping at night. He's with you when you get up in the morning. He's with you when you walk along the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. We sing an old song, church here. He promised never to leave me. Never to leave me alone. I think that's a wonderful thing. I'm never by myself. God's always with me. And that's a great thing to have. He says he shed abroad his love in our hearts. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. I'm going to go ahead and read these other two texts, because it's a good place to stop. And if you're listening to me by way of the live stream, these few verses I'm getting ready to read, I'm going to read them kind of quickly. It shows you how you be saved. And I hope you've been saved. I hope you've trusted Jesus. I hope that you know Him as Savior. Listen to what it says. For when we were yet without strength, and beloved, we couldn't save ourselves. Only Jesus could save us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love towards us, and that while we were yet what? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hope the Lord bless you in our live stream broadcast. I hope the Master touches you in a mighty way. I don't know who's listening. I don't know who all's listening out there. I hope a lot. But if you've never trusted Jesus, why don't you ask Him to save you? Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for our friends here in the service this morning. And I pray, Father, that I'm thankful for them being here. And Father, we pray for our services this evening. We pray that You'd bring out our folks tonight to the evening service, and that they'd be blessed as a result of coming. Father, we pray for our nation's in a mess, and we pray that You would speak peace to it. And Father, we pray for our church, that You would keep us where we need to be and save souls and add souls. It's a different time, but we pray Your blessings on it. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you for listening.